Like complete stuff? Okay.
All right, let's continue our conversation. This is the Johnson County Board of Supervisors informal work session here. And we're on to strategic planning work session, item D1, Johnson County Strategic Plan, including development of goals and action plans.
Okay, so you're getting things in multiple formats, and I was trying to decide what kind of electronic format would work best for continuing and kind of keeping track of what we've done and what we still have yet to do. So you've got a hard copy of some documents. These are drafts that I have from board members that I thought we should work through, and I thought it'd be easiest to have that in hard copy so you can make notes, you can have it in front of you. But then I emailed you one document that said what the status was and where we were with each of the goals. That's a short document. And then just so that you saw that it is actually somewhere exists all in one document is the draft with everything plugged in so far. What I thought was that you guys can look at the hard copies in front of you. I will have the full set in up on the screens, and we can work through the ones that we're talking about. So,
and I sent you even another one. So you'll have another piece.
Terrence has sent me two that aren't yet in the document yet.
I think one got in.
Yeah. So just kind of going in order. The first one, Janelle has sent one for reduce energy use. And that includes the table that follows right after it. And so my thought was that the action items would go in the document and then the table would be referred to as an appendix, kind of a completed document once we get it done. So if we want to just go through that.
The committee, a little committee, met twice about this. These were actually drafted by Becky Soglin with Josh Bouchard helping. I didn't wordsmith them. I just told Andy that I think maybe it's better for the board now to get some buy-in to it. But these are the kind of consensus that came from Josh, Becky, Eldon Slaughter, and Sherry Butler and myself about what could happen in the next 2 years.
Okay, so we'll just take them in order, I think. So by dates to be determined by the Board of Supervisors in consultation with physical plant and dependent on budgeting and final cost-benefit analysis, physical plant will initiate selected energy efficiency cost-saving upgrades from the document in the appendix. Planning and zoning sustainability staff will pursue rebates, incentives, and research technology as needed. I guess I should say then, first of all, the overall goal is to reduce energy use by 2% by June 30th, 2016. And so,
is that the date we plan on this strategic plan ending?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for what it's worth, I actually like the fact that there's more than one year there, even if these things don't take more than a year, because you can run into just that fluky year. You know, where if the temperature stays, you know, below zero for all of 2015, you're going to have different energy usage. So it's like by having a couple of years, if we have the ability to account for an anomaly, we will get a better measure.
So, I mean, this is my fault they put all these qualifiers in here. I mean, I think basically it's annually pending budget or something, some projects will be undertaken, or, you know, we could get rid of a bunch of words there if we wanted to.
Is this something, could we incorporate, or would you like to incorporate that into the space needs plan as part of that? And then since you've set a date on that, then it'd be incorporated into the plan, and then through the budget process, the board would determine what you wanted to include.
That'd be a way to handle it and keep it in one document.
It's just a matter of trying to identify what you want and how to measure it.
Well, let me ask this, because number one makes sense to me, but I'm not sure how number two fits with number one. I guess I'm just not. Number two kind of confuses me when I think about number one.
Well, number one are just small projects. Number two are you're completely building a new building or retrofitting a building.
Okay, so that's how it's viewed, is okay. The smaller stuff is one and the bigger stuff. Okay.
Right, so, you know, just changing out light bulbs is number one. And number two is develop capital project standards and policy. So we would develop that. The board would have to vote on it. That would be part of our checklist we would do when we were going to build a new building or retrofit a building.
Okay. That helps.
So I'm good with one if we make that part of the whatever we call that document, and that projects are picked out and put in that five-year plan and then are funded accordingly to our ability to fund them.
And so then if two is then what you just described, then it seems to me that maybe three should kind of go away because it would be covered by two, right? If it meets the criteria, we would just do it as a part of the capital project.
Three could go away just because it's already out to bid and we're about to do it, so
yeah.
Why put it in here?
But on other projects like that, we would kind of run it. Number two tells me we would kind of run it through a
some sort of standards and policy checklist that this
is worth doing because it meets A, B, and C.
Right, which would just be part of the consideration for doing it.
Yeah.
It may be nothing good about it green-wise, but we still have to do it.
Right.
So there still may be a...
But at least, or maybe there's a way to do it greener or
right.
Something like that.
So I think three can go away just because we're doing it anyway, and it's by the time we adopt this, it'll probably already be accepted, right? Timing is... One gets reworded to be part of, you know, to make it be a part of that plan.
Okay.
And then that would be done annually because that plan is. So on number two, when would we like to have a standards and policy available for consideration?
What's realistic?
I'm sure 6 months is realistic. I mean, it's, you know, but I'm sure that there are other areas that have it, and it'd just be a matter of telling Becky to do it, and she'd go find something, and we would put it on a work session and tweak it and argue and come up with something. I don't think it's going to be that much work.
Is that something the green team wants to... flush out, maybe put them on the list of coordination. Give them a project.
So July 1, 2014. Is that
be a good goal?
Okay.
A lot of these are going to be like that, I think, and then
depends on who all we're assigning them to, whether they can get done. So number one will be annually. It'll be part of that document. Number two would be July 1, 2014. Number three we'll just eliminate because it's getting done but it will really help to this goal.
Okay, so then the new number three is by December 31st, 2014, a coordinated team will develop a policy and implement an action plan to reduce the energy draw of existing office equipment, examples, and supplemental equipment in all buildings and work areas. This effort will include an inventory of equipment and an employee education component.
Mainly the discussion was we don't actually know what all is plugged in, and so an inventory would begin to tell us what we needed to change, how many refrigerators we have, how old they are.
And then also, but also, those space heaters. I mean, there's a lot of things like that that, I mean, do we kind of tell employees, hey, we just spent $1 million or $500,000 on new heating for these buildings? I mean, do we want to actually put our foot down?
Depends on how well it's working.
Yeah. That's true.
Would be interesting if they could do it by office.
I think that just like she did the waste audit, it's my understanding that it would be an audit by office, so...
We have a good example. It's
there's
staring
a fan
at us right
plugged
there.
In this room.
Yeah.
Now, it's not on, but sometimes there would be an inventory of what's in every office.
Yeah. I mean, we have to practice what we preach.
This room's going to be like a red zone.
Plus, I think the green team may be able to, they may be using some of their funds to purchase. They have this thing that can show you what a draw is. And either facilities or green team may be purchasing one of those. So I assume that's doable since Becky and Josh put that date in there. And they would, Becky would be mainly doing this.
Everybody okay with that? Okay. The next one, by a certain date, the county will establish a revolving fund for internal energy efficiency and alternative energy projects.
This has to do with, they started doing this at the University of Iowa, where they capture some of their energy savings to reinvest in the next project. So, if you qualify for rebates, they kind of capture that. And they know that money will be spent in an additional green. I'm not clear. I think the university is on a much more aggressive schedule than we would be, because I think they're actually capturing 100% because they have a large strategic goal of 2020. But this was kind of the discussion that in order to justify some of these projects, we may need to have taken the value out of an easier one to apply it to the new one to make it worthwhile. And so the question is there an interest in establishing a small pot of money, and by that I mean relatively small, that then would automatically be reinvested. Not automatic, we would still make the decision on what items, but we would know that pot of money was available and it had come from savings from previous projects.
I mean, I think it's intriguing. I guess to me the question would be, I'd almost need to see numbers, to know what we're talking about in terms of how much each of these, like on these, could-do lists are.
They provided those before. I think she just is included in a smaller document this time. But they actually had the dollar amounts out to the side.
But then if you, because some of the savings is over X number of years, and so I don't know. I mean, I think it's worth considering. I just, I guess I'd kind of feel like I have to see some of it, I guess.
Well, I mean, nothing would change on the board would still decide what projects would be done. It's just that you would know that it came from rebates we received from a previous project, for example, to pay for the next one.
So you're not saying commit automatically to doing the next one on the list just because you saved 40,000.
Right.
Okay.
No. It just is, you get a rebate on whatever project, and that has put in capital expenditures with a little, like, placeholder that money will be used on approved future green projects. It doesn't mean that any future green project is already determined. It just means that, as opposed to tax per se for that future green project, you have a fund already kind of being built up based on the fact that you've received rebates in the past. And the rationale is that eventually you're going to get to some projects that are going to cost some fairly good money, and you're either going to have some courage to go out on a limb to put the solar array out, or, you know, if you can say we paid for it with savings from previous projects, it's a little bit easier. And so it's, I think, slightly modeled off of their university, but not as aggressive as theirs.
So what do you think for a date? You kind of have to know, I don't know. I was thinking, in a way, you have to know the figures before you do it, but on the other hand, if you get a rebate tomorrow and you've established the procedure.
And nothing about it would be restricted. At the board's choosing, if they said the $40,000 rebate that's going to, or whatever, that's too high, but we're going to get a rebate on the HVAC in this building. We don't want that to be applied to a green project. We'd rather apply it to something else. We could do that at any time. It's just, it kind of gives you a way to say, I'm paying for more green projects with savings from the past ones.
So we kind of need, really, we need to make sure that Dana is aware of if we're wanting to target something to put some kind of note or hold on a certain amount of money. Because it could easily go from one fiscal year to the next.
Yeah, I think it definitely would be if we're gearing up. I mean, I guess part of the rationale is we already know that the solar wind thing will help us at secondary roads. We know it, at the new shed, it will help us at the new maintenance shed. But they have big costs to it, and as of yet, we've not been willing to pull the trigger on the cost. In this case, you will have captured the money through the rebates you've gotten in order to have the pool of money to do that next project. So it'd just be a matter of putting a little hold on it, but the board at any time could use the money for something else. And it wouldn't necessarily follow this list.
So it's just a matter of a date. We don't quite know. We don't have to be specific the second anyway. But.
Well, and also, it seems like it's something that could evolve. That, I mean, the applying a rebate, that's
an easy one.
So you could start that right away.
You wanted to just apply the rebates we received. This could be done tomorrow. Because there's no, I mean, it's a given.
It could evolve then into tracking savings that
through the 2% reduction or whatever.
So you want to put July 1st of 2014 and then it'd start with the fiscal year, or do you want to start sooner? I don't know when we get the rebate on this building. Start in time for that.
Why don't you just put that date, and if something comes in before May, we could put it in the spring amendment if we wanted.
Okay.
And at least for now, we're talking about rebates we may receive. We can always target other money that would go into this fund, but that to me is the easiest. Number six here is where you would spend that money on if we decide to is prepare a report on the potential for an alternative energy project. We need to get rid of what's in parentheses there. Invite a consultant to provide a solar concept feasibility analysis. So we already have concept on secondary road shed and maintenance facility, but various people have talked about projects, including the roof of HHS, passive hot water, or not passive, but solar hot water, solar array out here in this field, or the parking lot itself. And so the question is, how do we ever get to the point where we would entertain a project like that?
Or if it's even feasible.
Yeah, this would...
I don't know, with the floodplain, you know, I mean, that kind of, you know, some of those limitations, could you put something in there at all?
I've been, because I read it in one of those governing magazines, it looks like a carport.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But it's a solar panel. Mm-hmm. And what it would, you know, if we did a demonstration of one of those.
Like a whole row.
Well, they're actually doing it right over here at the university.
Right.
Building. Yeah, they've done that.
Yeah, but they're doing it to charge their electric cars. Right. What we would want to do is feed that back in to lower our building cost. And
yeah.
Our problem is, frankly, Mid-America is not a good partner on this. If this building was down in Frytown, we could already be doing this, and it would have cost out for us. So the big question is, are we ready to explore that, and where, and which project, and how much, and how are we going to pay for it?
Well, that could be part of what you use your savings for.
Right. And while, I mean, they're constantly going to look for grants, it just may not happen. It may be something we actually have to pay for. Okay. Do you want some sort of date here?
Seems like it'd be good, I mean, especially for the... It's kind of the same people working on all of these. It's probably good to have some
future priorities.
I don't know if that's something you got. All the rest of them are happening in 2014. I don't know if you want to put that as kind of a 2015 project or.
Okay.
Sounds good.
June 30th, December 31st.
So this...
Yeah, June 30th, probably.
Yeah. This is exploring the project, and you would still invite... I mean, the consultant comes after that date, then? Is that kind of how that's...
I think there is a lot of free advice we could get if we just ask for it. But at some point, if you got serious, you'd probably have to pay someone to design it.
Can you want to scroll up for a minute, Andy?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Too quick.
Well, I was just looking at these dates, and it's like we're going with like some first of the months and some last of the months, and it's probably not a real big deal, but maybe we ought to just pick a consistent...
Yeah, that Andy's going to have to clean all that up.
You know,
it
maybe
depends
that,
on who wrote it.
Yeah, maybe that December 31st should just be a January 1 of 2015. And
just make it clean.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Andy works on the 1st anyways.
See if we've got it done.
It's not done, he'll be in.
So may need some funds for a consultant on this last one.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that one or the table that would be attached?
And this table came from the energy audits we had. So that's just so you know. And it did have, the larger table had costs, which we were given at the time.
Okay. All right. The next one, the financial information, we have done some work on. Terrence provided some additional items. So what we had here was the kind of the narrative, and that was pretty general. So, I don't know, Terrence, do you want to talk about what
kind sure.
of steps you've got?
Yeah, a lot of this is just really bringing together information. In fact, just coincidentally today to have what was in front of us really showed you a little bit of the inventory of different reports and policies. But if you go to our website, you won't. It's like a maze to try to figure out where stuff is. And so a task would be to truly determine what our entire current inventory of county financial policies and reports are, kind of have it under one umbrella, which I think we're really close to already having. We would use the finance department, IT, treasurer, auditor, supervisors, and finance committee to review that, and then have it done by, you know, as soon as probably May, if not sooner.
I think you'll get to cross it off like next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of like what does Dana have under that list and making sure that there's nothing additionally that maybe Tom or Travis or any of us have in our old files that might still be actually
available. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So, so you can see the resources are fairly easy here. But it's really creating that database. Then the idea, of course, moving on to the next one would be to also look at how do other departments all across the United States, some of those cities or counties, how do they really showcase and make it easy for the public to see those? You know, does there, I've seen several where you can make a report look a whole lot nicer with a picture or just the way it's presented. And so just some design features there would be nice to kind of research. Again, this is kind of just a follow-up after the budget cycle to let these guys have a project to work on. There's several of with the finance folks. And then we would identify maybe a little subcommittee to pick out kind of the favorites to review and then do so this summer with actually displaying it on the finance department's website, probably. Maybe the Board of Supervisors would have to determine where best to put it. As far as the linking goes, and maybe it just goes to both. But working with Gary, he's pretty good at making the web page look pretty nice once he has some direction on where things should go. So that's kind of at least as far as just kind of some easy stuff to kind of check off the list. Some additional things that I identified as far as, again, the ultimate goal, which is, again, to make financial information clear, thorough, accurate, timely, and such for particularly the web page. One area would be to improve past annual fiscal year budget reports and financial highlights and then make a public presentation. And this is, again, just building on what we kind of started this past year or so. We've been doing it several years, but it seemed like there was a lot more organized effort this past year in highlighting what we've accomplished, if you will. Again, you kind of see the same team working on things like this. It'd be nice to have some kind of report to be able to give to the public of maybe a little sooner than what we did, but probably by September of each year, it'd be nice to be able to give that presentation. I think ultimately it would be really great to do similar to what other places do and actually showcase a report for a community event of some sort. And I know over the years we've asked the League of Women Voters or others to create some kind of event where a lunch and a breakfast, something where we can actually make the presentation. And you can see resources needed includes study, again, other county websites. Lynn County has had a lot of success in some of their reports and their budget presentations have won awards, so it'd be neat to just look at what the USGFOA has actually given out as awards and just see why those places all across the U.S. have had good success there. And then the next part is publicize those financial highlights and other pertinent budget analysis and graphs as part of an annual Johnson County report, which actually will come up in another part of strategic planning, and that's under the communications. But I pulled off what Linn County just released about 2 weeks ago. And their presentation, it's on their website, is really a, this is a piece that is also put into the Cedar folks who get it, Gazette in Linn County. But it has, it's just a really nice packet that showcases all of the departments, all the elected officials. It's just an incredible good PR piece. But in that, it also has a financial review, and that's what this is referencing here, is that, again, providing some nice graphs, things of that nature that are easy to follow, that kind of showcase again what where their finances went, how their property taxes were spent. And again, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel when they have a project here that is really well done. And so that's what this is emphasizing, is just having the finance department have a really nice, easy, I mean, there's kind of like part of it is here's your really detailed lot of stuff, a lot of things to go through, and then here's your one-page graphs and real easy to follow stuff. And again, there's just no reason why we shouldn't be having the same kind of thing that a Linn County can provide now that we have a finance department. And so that's what that's emphasizing. That would be nice to have all these things kind of on a yearly basis.
I think that all sounds great. My only question would be, I think we may need to spend a little time when people get into it figuring out the timing, you know, how long does it actually take to close the books and be able to have the necessary info versus how long does it take to write up something nice and create something pretty. And
well, and like you're right, because like Linn County's report is of the fiscal year 2013, and they brought it out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it does give you some sense, and again, when we go through the communications one, which I just sent you.
Because there you're talking about something in December, right?
Yep. So this is...
You do a State of the County. When's their State of the County address?
That's September-ish. September, October.
So they almost reverse those two.
Yeah, and it's kind of what we did. I mean, think about it. When did we do our State of the County? Was it October?
We're a little later than we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be nice to get that done in September, but then actually have a year-end really nice piece somewhere. It could be December, even like I said, what Linn County just did.
And I think, as I recall from their other reports, I mean, what's in there on the financial side is from their audit. So my assumption is that that's kind of what drives the timing.
Yeah, and the GFOA stuff is that huge detailed budget report. That's different than this.
Yeah.
You know, but this is more of a public relations piece. Again, that's more into another section of our strategic plan. But it does have a really nice, easy-to-read financial review of things. So it's just, like I said, it's a really colorful, nice piece that they provide that we should, too.
We did the annual report and reception on October 10th.
So it'd be nice to get a little sooner just because it just matches up a little closer to, the end of June. But I know you can't get all the numbers.
It's kind of cool, though, to do something, you know, the idea of, like, doing something in like, July or August, and 6 months later you're kind of, like, starting a new year, you know, so mid-January maybe is not a bad time to, I don't know, I'm just talking out loud, but I'm very much in favor of both things.
And when we get into, like, the annual report stuff, which is, again, on the other section, it does put out some different times and things that might be attracted, particularly to the rural residents, so, too.
I guess one question that I would have just on specifically mentioning the GFLA distinguished budget presentation. And that's for their big report. I mean, that's almost, if the county wants to set that as a goal, that's a, that would be a big, that would be a goal almost in itself.
Mm-hmm.
For the, you know,
for to win that.
Yeah. And to, if you're going to dedicate the staff resources for that.
At least submit one, it would be nice.
So, because that's, I guess I'm just wondering if there's any confusion between, again, if we're using Lincoln County as a model, between their state of the county report and their GFOA.
Yeah, because they do three. Okay, so they do a state of the county report. They do a annual report, and they do the GFOA budget analysis. Okay. And so...
And they're really three different audiences.
Hmm. They do their annual report. Do they do that with their league?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a, it's a lunch.
The state of the, kind of the state of the county.
Yeah, it's a lunch at the Long Branch that I think they...
Well attended.
Yeah, the League of Women Voters charges $30 a plate and gets a couple hundred people.
And then they do their GFOA, their big annual thick packet of detailed what they did with their budget. And you're right, that must be just a big auditor's. I wonder if they, when they submit that, is that when we submit ours as well to, I was thinking of like the, when we have to give our final report to the state. I'm sure there's a lot of, to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
okay.
that. So. I guess that would be my only question is whether or not that's kind of talking about two different things in that, or if this committee will kind of sort that out and bring
I think we'll need to sort that out to see what's realistic. I mean, what, the thing is that we're already doing a lot of this stuff. It's just making it look a lot better. And I'm sure now that, again, we have a department and we know that's in his goals.
Yeah. I mean.
He knows it.
They seem very excited to submit a application to GFLA reporting.
And really none of this needs to start until we get through this budget. I'd rather have them just concentrate now on that, and we can kind of go through these kind of one by one.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
I just pulled it up, and it says that Linn County received Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for the 18th consecutive year.
And you know, and again, this is just something that I know several of us have been jonesing to do, tried to get our past finance person to get motivated by it, just never really got anything taken off. And I think I really just want to see this. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to tell somebody when they say, I can't believe my taxes are this and this, and say, well, go to the website, this is how it was spent. And I just, right now, I don't feel comfortable doing that because I don't even know where it is. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I can find it.
Okay. I think the first one on the next plan is the conservation, which is not in the document but is in the hard copy. So I'll just pull it up. So, and this one is Terrence's 2.
All right, so again, the goal is to develop a multi-year strategy for use of conservation bond funds and improvement of trails and facilities. And I think in part this goal is to try to come up with a good system so that when they are ready to spend money that we can pace it out. And so, of course, first and foremost is getting their finalized list of what actually is what they want to spend on some of these projects, and probably get a little more detail from those folks into which year they're planning to try to get that project done. I've got a hunch that they're going to want to spend quite a bit. They have it kind of ready to go, and then is it real or not? I mean, if we're going to be capped with the amount of money we have and our ability to put in a bond fund, it better be pretty much ready to roll. So getting that inventory by July 1 would be, I think, a pretty reasonable request to at least getting that rolling. I think it's probably prudent to think that we're going to need some kind of subcommittee of work that would involve conservation, finance department, a supervisor, which probably would be a liaison, which happens to be me, to the conservation, and then also the treasurer, to start kind of sitting down and saying how we're going to do this over the long run. And then also, as you'll notice a little later on, we'll want to kind of do the same as we go to the next one with our space needs, kind of the same concept to start thinking about over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, how much bond limitation, how much money do we have to play with? So we would merge our finalized list of the conservation bonded projects with the list of the county space needs, plus roads and infrastructure projects that may utilize the bonding. I think we'll have a pretty good picture after we get through this budget of what kind of is on that list and what made it this year and what's probably going to have to be on next year's, depending on the tax impacts and us fighting over that. You can kind of see the different responsible groups. They're fairly similar, although we do bring in some extra groups on that number two, which would include secondary roads, the trails folks, making sure we have that list ready to roll. And part of that's going to be all in conservation anyway. Number three is then study financial concepts, including utilizing outside organizations to assist in spreading out the impacts on that property tax and impacts on current bond caps and limitations. Again, you know, we kind of hear that there's an organization or two out there that's willing to front some money and help us spread this thing out so that we can keep taxes at least level as best we can and keep under that $10 million cap, if that's what the number is now. Does anyone know what that organization's name was? I can't remember it.
Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation.
Maybe something to add, just so we have that on the list.
Pat and I had a liaison, and we actually had it with all of the finance department and talked about this item, actually. It was one of the discussion points. Because now that they have some real direction of where they want to go, they want to do it all tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And therein lies part of the problem. And so we talked about this a little bit, because when Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation borrows money to buy a piece of property they're eventually going to sell to us, they have to transfer that interest to us. It doesn't make a lot of sense if we could have borrowed the money at 0.5% and they're borrowing it at 3-something.
Right, we'd only want to use them when
we have no other options. Yeah. And then the other thing that you can use them is when if we're not going to be able to do it right now, they can actually continue to crop it or get conservation reserve payments or wetland payments, and so then that can buy down the interest rate, and that's how the relationship with DNR works. So one of the questions I asked is, are our local lenders, and not just for this but anything else, is the 3-year their comfort level? And so they are going to look into that, because if you're going to do we may be able to spread this out a little bit thinner and not have such dramatic tax increases if we used a 4 or 5 year for something that's a lifetime purchase. But it's believed that our local lenders, because interest rates are starting to go up, will not be interested in a longer term. But that right. is one of the options.
Yeah, I was wondering, one of the things I was thinking of is, because this bond is separate, if you will, was there any possibility of bonding with a with a local lender separately than our other projects.
Right.
And so, in other words, it's not a part of that $10 million cap thing that Tom...
And that's just their cash abilities to handle. But it could be because this, you buy a piece of property, it's forever. And if we could borrow it over 4 years or 5 years, we may be able to spread out the burden to the taxpayers. And so they're going to look into that, but it's not believed that will be a good answer for us just because the interest rates are starting to climb.
And so part of this, getting this rolling right away, and I'm happy to hear that finance folks are on top of things a bit, is because the reality is that some of these conservation projects might not be done immediately if it means that we're going to jeopardize a different county project. I mean, that's a conversation we have to have then, you know, as far as our own costs and things. So it'd be nice to avoid that fight if we have to. And then, again, the eligibility of the National Heritage Foundation or whoever, does that count for trails? Does it count for cabins at Kent Park? Does it count for what? Or is it just land purchases? I mean, there's a... You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of different expenses that they...
Mainly, they have only been used that I can't think of a single case where it wasn't a land purchase. Because they're not a banker.
Yeah.
They're just more agile on their feet at negotiating prices and closing the deal on a land purchase than the government is. We can't really show up at an auction to bid on something. They can. I mean, it's basically, that's why they've been used across the state.
They have, I know, though, purchased land. I think the perfect example would be our Clear Creek Trail. They've purchased land for governments where the government later came back and put a trail on it, but they didn't. I mean, they're not going to put a trail on it.
Yeah. So those are the things that have to be kind of fleshed out. I think a little bit of this gets worked out because it has to get worked out in the next month here. So I think some of this will be kind of flushed out a little bit, just forced upon us much before September 1 or sooner. That's just the reality of it.
Okay, everybody comfortable with what we've got there?
Start anyway.
All right. Now, the
easy one?
The easy one.
There's a whole large number of items that can be put in whatever order we want, but it kind of drew a picture of where we wanted to start, where we felt we kind of had to go. And the first one is the pre-schematic designs and estimates for bond language would be developed. We did part of that today. And who's responsible is the board, the auditor, the attorney, county attorney, and finance. And the date, and just a shot in the dark at July 1 of 14. I don't think we want to be much later than that if it's going to be on a November ballot, if whatever we decide. But I think consensus of the board was, if we're going to do it, it should be in November. The next one is designs to be prepared, designs for the courthouse annex and secure court services entrance and connection to the courthouse and jail option will be developed. It's the board, county attorney, architect, and input from the jail inspector. Again, that's hopefully by July 1 of 14. Next item is obtain a commitment from the City of Iowa City on vacation of Harrison Street. They've said they would, but we'd like to have something solid in writing that they will do that for us. And the negotiations will be held with the city, commitment obtained, and then the county attorney and board would do that. It'll be June 1 of 14. So we think we need to know it if they're not going to do that. Consider a shared space with the city. Possibilities and options and requirements of a joint facility would be explored. That would be the board and the City of Iowa City by May 1st of 14. And that's if the board feels that they want to have some space in the jail for the police department or someone to share some space, get that commitment down to to 50% the ballot if we're willing to do that. If we're not, then we don't. Next is purchase and condemnation of the remaining property on Capitol Street. Negotiation with property owner will be concluded and property either purchased or condemned. County attorney, board, and the finance department. Again, by July 1 of 14, and the finance will be in there to do the funding of the purchase of the property.
I don't think we need it by July 1 of 2014.
I put that in thinking that we may need it if that's going to be where the walkway and the annex for the jail would be if it passes.
But it won't have passed by then.
But I understand. My thought was that if we're not going to be able to get the house and decide not to, then that eliminates us being able to do that.
Well, we'll get the house. All we have to do is condemn it. I mean, so I don't want to condemn it. I mean, and they've been very clear that they don't want to sell it to us. They want to be condemned. So I wouldn't want to condemn it until the last possible day so that, one, they can stay in business.
That's up the board.
But I just don't know why we would need it 6 months before we'd even have a vote, let alone start construction.
Well, we've had some negotiation with that individual already. I don't know if it really matters. I mean, that's pretty much a given. We're going to pursue that. I think it's more just, is that one thing to avoid if that came up with any kind of an election issue or not?
Yeah, they could wait till after November. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
My thought was just...
I think maybe determining after.
Decide one way or the other.
I mean, I think we would do this after whatever passed.
Yeah.
My thought was it could end up in court, then what do you do?
I think what you run into is the idea of, like, why, even if he wants us to condemn it and it's mutual, why would we want to do that? Well, we've got...
And just in case the public, I mean, it's a bail bonds person. They want to be as close to the jail, and so they're looking for the ability to be in a building nearby. All of that is contingent upon the university moving out of buildings nearby. I mean, it's all kind of a checkers.
There's a lot of commercial space that's empty that's required by the cities in some of these buildings that's open. I mean,
but just not one directly across the street.
I know.
And so if we were ever going to have a public-private partnership like with the parking ramp, that would be an ideal location for them.
And the other one is demolition of the houses on Capitol Street. Of course, we all know that there's issues with those now that we probably need to do something sooner than later. And that's facilities and the board there.
Yeah, this is one where I need more info. Like, I know that this house on the corner, Eldon has said there's all kinds of problems with it, but then...
This is the mold and the...
Yeah, but each of these houses is different, and I kind of... So I guess... I have a long list of questions. It's like, is it cheaper to have them mobilize once and tear down four houses? Or is it better financially to keep getting the rent off?
I would say vacant ones first, then decide when we want to do the rest.
His email was about the vacant ones, not the ones that are being rented.
Right. But so that's my question then, is would you actually save money doing them all? Or would you... there's financial questions that I have there about what we can do.
The point being that if it's November, the voters have given permission. We've pretty much got negotiations with GSA. Now, do we get rid of all the buildings at once versus three at one time and then have to go back? And is that part of the...
Yeah.
That makes some sense.
His concern is the three that have been vacated are becoming a...
Is it even three or is it two?
It's three on the
three.
Edge. That nobody's lived in for 5, 6, 7 years. That they are becoming a... What's that called? We use it in public health. Attractive nuisance. And are becoming dangerous. And he just doesn't think we should wait any longer to tear them down. Why would we tear down buildings people are still renting and paying property taxes?
At least those three, you know, if it's I think it becomes a health issue with all the mold and so forth, as he says. And if the city is going to care or not, usually they'll give you an order to do something.
I guess the only reason to tear it down would be if it is $100,000 to tear down three and $110,000 sure. to tear down four. You don't make $10,000 in rent.
Johnson's offer it to them.
I was going
to
say there are a lot of people in this community that I think that would actually come in and tear down the house. And you'd just have to do the cleanup of it, but they'd take everything they wanted. The house would be leveled, and then all you have to do is bring in something to rip out the foundation. They would just take the lumber and everything.
Kind of what we did across the street.
So that's what I say, and we wouldn't have to pay anything.
They'd just come in and take it.
Won't have to pay something because they all have asbestos in them.
Well, remember, we have to go through all the DNR permits, all that other stuff.
That's one thing. Has it been verified that they all have asbestos in it?
Still
sure
have to have DNR
permits.
He's got somebody coming
to check it out.
Because
yeah.
I would say if they don't have asbestos, that's if they
based
do.
Based on when they were built.
Exactly. If they do have asbestos, they're going to be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, we have estimates because we've done it before when we tore down the building over here. So we have an idea of what it costs.
Well, I put these down because it's just part of the process. Mm-hmm. It needs to be done.
They're on the list.
I've reworded that a little bit for plan developed for demolition as opposed to that the houses will actually be
right, and the plan could be hold off another 6 months or demolish three and then wait on the others.
Yeah, Eldon's the one that really has to give us some direction on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then just jumping up, this other one I changed to pursue the purchase condemnation if bond referendum for jail is passed. Is that... All right.
I think that's where I am right now.
Clears it up then.
Okay.
And the next item is negotiate with GSA for purchase or exchange of the parking lot property. The board will review and act upon proposed contract from GSA for purchase or exchange of property, board and county attorney, dependent on GSA draft of contract. And they said that's negotiable, whatever they come up with. We have the right to ask for changes or difference. Lengthen out the time we would get it, but that's part of the negotiations. And the $500,000 and $500,000 for the payment for the funding of contracted parking spaces. So that's something that we probably should have finance on that one too, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow, some way, this issue has to come up more often. I mean, as far as follow-up and things, particularly early on here, I mean, over the next 3 months, I mean, is this for real or not? Because it really has a lot to do with the future of where a building possibly could go. I mean, particularly if it's going to be incredibly difficult to put an annex and not utilize the existing GSA, as what was pointed out by Venture. I mean, it'd be nice to kind of know, is this happening or not? I mean, I have a whole different opinion, and I think others do too, on the future of where to locate a jail if GSA has no possibility. So it'd be just nice to know, like, do we have a deadline 3 or 4 months from now? Is it a yes or a no?
And I think you and I have kind of been on the same page of asking, so you really mean we can do anything we want with it? You're not going to restrict at all what we do with this? And
as long as they have 200 parking spaces.
Until I see that really in print where Janet goes, yeah, that's what they mean.
Yeah, it's still wishy-washy. But, I mean, it seems like everything's still moving forward. It's just a matter of getting... Is it possible still in 3 months? I mean, because that makes a huge difference of everything when it comes to the jail.
Well, they told me before we talked to them on the phone that day that... The timeline is just basically what negotiations. If they have everything they get, then they get change of contract, then they have to send it back through the channels for review. Mm-hmm. So it can go for a long time or it can be shortened.
But, I mean, do we have a system? I almost wonder if we need a system in this somewhere that says every 2 weeks we have followed up on something or somebody or who's in charge of that or is there a committee?
An aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, is someone getting a... I mean... You know, we've gone two or three weeks here since we met with them. Anyone heard anything? Followed up? Called them? Nothing? Who's in charge of that? I mean, I just don't... there isn't a system here to kind of keep everyone going.
And I think that, yeah, I mean, we could think about what that would be. I communicated with them that day or the next day and said, what I understood was that they had indicated the next step was they'd have a draft contract for the county attorney. So I communicated with them that the board was interested in moving forward, copied Janet on that, you know, send her the contract. And my hunch is, even though there's more channels, probably that draft contract is going to tell you a lot about whether or not it really is what you want it to say, and what kind of timeline they're on.
Yeah.
That's the challenge, I think.
I just want to know in the next 3 months, is it real or not? Because it changes,
yeah,
at least in my mind,
to.
the whole what we just decided today, it's, that decision is a lot different.
You just have to have that info.
So it seems like there's almost two issues here. I mean, it's all a part of negotiating with GSA, but as far as like more detail, I wonder, do we need a subcommittee system? Do we need to, how do folks want to deal with that?
Well, you know, Andy and you know, I've been kind of doing that, but, you know, I don't have a problem. We still have the facilities committee, Rod and I, and Andy, and we can...
It seems I'm fine with...
With them, or is that whole group going to change now that we're kind of moved a little bit past with the having the committee we had?
I have no problem assigning two or three people to just continue to, like, hound them about once a week and just say... Where are we? You know, and Janet is going to have to get real serious about this if this is for real or not.
Yeah,
I mean, it has to be a priority.
So the when will it be done? Well, it is dependent on the GSA draft. We also have to have some kind of drop dead ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately we can still put a ballot language out there saying contingent on. But boy, does that muddy things up. Pretty significantly, I think, as far as people voting. It just puts a lot of doubt.
I mean, we're talking about a 7-1 for the ballot language. I think maybe we ought to think about a 6-1 here. I can't imagine going any later. I just wouldn't be comfortable with what I'm going to put out there otherwise.
Yeah. Probably June 1st.
Makes sense.
June rather than May. That's okay.
And that date would be for kind of finalization, probably, but a preliminary sense that it's...
Preliminary contract or whatever.
In order to get that done... I think we just need to ask Janet which one of the attorneys she's going to assign to this.
And just send her this, say, this is what we discussed today.
Because, you know, if it's going to be Andy Chappell, then just tell us now so he can get started. And he can be the thorn in their side.
Well, and is maybe the best way to just do this, you know, Terrence, for you to directly
call or
talk to her and just say, look, This is pretty critical, and we got to have.
Because Pat, Andy, and I do meet pretty regularly for agenda stuff. There's no reason why we just can't do a little conference call and just kind of set it straight here. What the deal is?
I mean, just to make it real clear to her that you know this is got to be a priority.
I don't have a problem hounding her or this other town of Kansas City on getting the contract to us.
I just think she needs to assign someone else.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I will suggest that to her.
I mean,
it, this is one of those...
gotta have it.
Gotta have it, or let's take it off the issue, and then we'll fight about if we want one issue or not on the ballot. I mean, that's pretty much how it works here.
Right. Anything else on that one?
It's a good one.
Okay. Ooh, we're doing good. I'm going to jump, since we've referred to it already some, and Terrence, I'm going to jump to your other one, since
okay.
it kind of ties in with what we worked on.
Right, this one everyone will have to look up or look at your screen.
Yeah. So this is improving communication with residents.
Yeah, and I'm just going to follow your screen too, Andy. Again, this is just, part of this goal was the one where it seems constantly we get a bit beat up, in particular about our inability to communicate with the rural constituency and, quite frankly, get the, I would call it more credit for the things that the County Board of Supervisors and others have been doing. So part of that is that, so have that in the back of your mind. But then again, also just a more organized, better look at what we've been able to accomplish over the year. And so first and foremost, we would look at, again, something similar to what Linn County has done and in regards to showcasing what each of the departments have done. And we do this typically at the budget time, and we've done it also in the annual report. And it's just making the annual report a little nicer and cleaner, that it's beyond just a PowerPoint but an actual marketing piece, primarily to be used on the intranet. But we would ask that each of the departments and elected officials submit a brief description of their office, which we pretty much have already, but also at least a photo of an employee or public interaction with their department or office for the year, and then name three or five of their most highest of accomplishments for the year. And then we would just ask all of them to have those submitted by September 1st of each year. As far as resources go, there's really not a whole lot, and there's no reason why each of the departments couldn't sit down and probably in 25 minutes figure this out.
Wouldn't that be part of your year-end report? Mm-hmm.
It's basically just gathering the information. If you look again at what other places do all across the U.S., they have a brief description, they have an analysis, and they have a really nice picture, and it's similar to what we already do already with both our annual report and our budget report. But again, going to the internet and having a nice piece, marketing piece like that, we don't have all of that together.
You know, we did some of this when Susan was in HR, and I remember her and Gary Yoder going around. And so I would just modify this a little bit to say, like, for example, I remember they went and took pictures when conservation was doing a controlled burn. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want conservation to have to worry about when they're doing something like that is taking pictures.
Yeah.
But if...
Yeah.
If Mickey knows it's going on, then Mickey should go out there and take
yeah,
those
that'd be easy.
Photos.
It'd be so easy. But just getting the departments to kind of realize that throughout the year, take a picture or two. Yep. So if we can kind of... Maybe another task, Andy, would be just to bring that up in our department head meetings.
Okay.
Again, I know we've kind of done that before, but...
And add Mickey to the... Well, I guess she is part of the communications committee.
Yeah, she is.
Isn't she?
She's going to be that communications committee.
Okay.
So once we've kind of gotten all those materials and kind of gotten it organized a little sooner, I think, then we would then develop an annual report, kind of a newsletter format style, similar, again, what Linn County's done. Again, the communications committee would have some tasks throughout the year. Typically, what I'm kind of envisioning is that the communications committee would have kind of a quarterly project. So you got your annual report, and then you'll get into some of this rural stuff that comes after this.
We have an estimate on what that cost. Mickey provided it for us. And it wasn't even what it cost to develop. It was what it cost to print. But...
That was what Linn County spent, right? And there.
Well, it says similar to Linn County, right?
Yeah.
But
Gazette, I think, gives them a discount.
Gazette gives them a really good deal that they wouldn't.
And I think
give us.
That's why it runs in December, also. By the way, that piece, I wonder, but. But
so,
anyway, we'd have to get some feeling of that. If we decide to put in a newspaper or not.
I think the problem is similar to Linn County in this thing. because it was very expensive. And that wasn't even developing all the graphics and stuff. That was just the printing of it.
So make it maybe...
You want it similar to what they've gotten results, but not in what they paid.
Yeah, so the what will be done is maybe just make it clear is develop an annual report. What that's saying is different than what potentially the funding, or how it's actually presented. So I wonder if there's part of it is creating the newsletter. The other part is how to actually distribute it or get it out into the public.
I suppose for this document, I mean, it would maybe make sense to not tie yourselves to Lynn County.
Yeah, I'd just get rid of that.
I mean, develop it, and part of the plan for it will be...
We can review that, but I will tell you, it's pretty clear. So just take that out, because we might find other places, too, that do a really nice job. I know I've checked out some in Minnesota that are really nice, and California. Number three would be to develop, and this now gets into some of that rural outreach, develop an annual newsletter with accomplishments and future projects and other information specific to rural unincorporated Johnson County. Utilizing what we just heard today, you know, the commitment of rural health and safety, think about the things we do with secondary roads, P&Z, how much outreach we have with the Sheriff's Department. I mean, there's so many examples, the sirens for tornadoes. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that we've been doing and don't think the rural community realizes a lot of those things.
Is rural unincorporated different than unincorporated?
Same, isn't it? I was just making it clear. Take out one of the words.
I guess, if you mean rural, that's a very small percentage of the 21,000 that are unincorporated.
I don't know what it means. I mean, I think it's you know, whenever I try to describe what the responsibilities of the Board of Supervisors are, I always throw in the line, we're kind of like city councilors to people that aren't in a city. So is that rural? Or
I always differentiate it because to me, the rural side is your farm or so forth. Mm-hmm. Then unincorporated is your Shoeyvilles and places like that. Where,
you mean outside of Shoeyville?
Yeah.
I think the Frytown.
Right, Frytown, Joetown.
Yeah. Yeah, I used the wrong example.
There's about 21,000 unincorporated residents, mm-hmm. give or take. I don't know how many households that reflects. But if you're going to further break down that 21,000 into some smaller constituency for their own newsletter,
I look at it more of what does the county do maybe with the rural fund? I mean, that's part of it. I just want the county to have some credit for the fact that we're reaching out to people. You know, we are the voice of those who don't live in a city. So whatever the word is for that, is that just unincorporated?
I think that would just be unincorporated.
I think if you just get rid of rural clarifies what we're talking about.
Yeah. And again, this is just a public relations piece and... You know, it's one of those where secondary roads used to have the newspaper and newsletter, and we've dropped that. But you can see some possibilities that you could incorporate in kind of a one around the prairie preview. I'm just trying to think of a distribution opportunity of an event. Of course, the county fair could be one, and somewhere in the fall. I don't know what that... But you can kind of center the idea on... Think about the new road projects that are coming. You can kind of see an April 1 type of thing. When it comes to October 1, you can kind of imagine the snowfall, those kind of rules, regulations. I mean, you can kind of see this developing into a pretty nice PR piece. I'm not sure if it has to be mailed to people. I'm not sure if I even would support the idea of spending money on snail mail anymore at all when we spend as much as we do on libraries and computers and everything else that people can go and look at.
Well, the north half of the county has a free newspaper in the North JOCO, North Johnson County. And so, you know, getting an insert in there, the question is, how do you deliver it to the rest of the county where they don't have that type of overarching communication?
Yeah. But do they hit rural there?
Yeah, it's all.
But, I mean, do they go in a rural subdivision and drop off free copies? Or
it's mailed to them, right?
And oh, all it's of through the mail.
It comes to their mailbox.
Oh, okay.
That's how I got mine.
Yeah, it comes to your mailbox. Okay. So it's Tiffin, North Liberty, Solon, Shoeyville, Swisher, and everything in between. Our problem is that is a great ability for us to communicate to them, but if you come south of Tiffin, the same thing doesn't exist.
So we'll have to think about some kind of marketing strategy here for all of this stuff.
You would hit a significant part of the 21,000 even if you did North JOCO.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you we can even work with them to put an insert in.
Yeah.
If we had to do it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw that paper that Secondary Roads used to put out when we first started. Yeah. It was good information.
Was it dropped because of expense?
Yeah. Trying to save money, but at least it gave people the timelines for applying for dust control and what's been accomplished, what they're doing.
So you could see kind of a PR piece here that could be developed by a communications committee that centers on unincorporated issues a little bit.
Which actually I think will be nice once, because more and more people are using smartphones, more and more farmers are using smart devices and technology in their areas. So it'd be one of those things where it'd be nice when Johnson County gets their app to, you know, just send out alerts. And then people see that alert pop up on the app and they click into it, they can actually access it. So that way, you know, we don't necessarily have to mail these all out.
Yeah, you know, part of the problem with this, I think, is, and there's no good answer for this, it's like part of the people with whom it feels like we're not as connected as we used to be or should be are the same people who aren't using a smartphone for that kind of thing. But then they're also the same people who will turn around and complain if we spend $25,000 to mail it to everybody.
Yeah.
And so in some ways you're just darned if you do and darned if you don't.
The ultimate goal here, I mean, I'm just going to say it, or on public record I'll just say it, we get beat up all the time because sometime back in the 80s and 90s there was nothing but rural representation on the Board of Supervisors and now there's a bunch of city slickers. Into some people.
John moved into a city, for goodness sakes. And Pat's the only one of us who doesn't live in a city now. Yeah,
And the point is that
that's why I don't live there.
I would argue that I would say this Board of Supervisors does more for rural, or let's call them unincorporated residents today, than they did in the 80s and 90s with the people that were supposedly all from the rural area. Wow. So I mean, I'm tired of that.
Well, it's not just rural, though. I mean, this is part of your broader goal you have. A very, very prominent member of the local media asked me a few weeks ago, when was the county going to step up and do something for 1105 like Coralville?
Probably uninformed.
And I was like, you mean other than give them a free building and land? Oh, I thought that was the city. So, I mean, this is just part of our plight, is we're the forgotten part of government. But it is true, we don't do a good job promoting ourselves and promoting why county government matters, period. Not just ourselves, but how it impacts your everyday life and how you should have, you know, a say in it. You should show up and say something.
I mean, I'm just curious what it would cost to, you know what, send out a postcard, just a postcard to the unincorporated area and directing them towards our website as well as listing phone numbers.
Sure. That
it cost about between 30 and 40 cents a postcard to, I'm sure I can ask John D. to tell us.
Boy, it didn't cost me that for mine.
I mean, if we want just that generic information, I mean, the treasurer does send out tax bills.
Right.
I mean, there's a way, you know, even if it's on the envelope, I You know, I have a difference of opinion with the treasurer on certain things that go in the tax bill or not, but you know, ultimately
directing them to, I guess, the
website. It's going there anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Directing them to our website or something, or phone numbers on how their tax money is being spent, to me is, you know, that's a less expensive way of getting people or directing people to county government.
But you'll find that a postcard versus a letter anymore is almost moot.
From a communication standpoint, though, we all know where the problems are. I think the difficulty is how to fix it.
Well, and we keep talking about sending people to the web page. Go to the web page now, try to find any of this stuff. It is ridiculously difficult. And to have a specific document that, you know, that when they go to the Board of Supervisors website or they go to the county website, somewhere it has, you know, reaching out to unincorporated Johnson County or whatever we come up with the name of it. You know, and it could be a, that could be another part of this too, is just coming up with a neat marketing and looking at what other counties have done. It's out there. So, but just getting organized like that would be nice to have. And most of these things, I have a hunch, are already things that are pretty much sent out as far as press releases, things about the bridge, things about roads, things about whatever. I mean, it's already done. It's just a matter of putting it into a document together and being organized about it.
So I have something here. Just, I hate to use them, but I think they just do a much better job than we do. Linn County has an electronic newsletter that I'm not clear if it's sent out weekly or just when they have something to say, but it's really the down and dirty about the county. It's, you know, it's links to other press releases or links to their website. It's very simple email, but it's sent out, you know, 50 or 60 times a year. And, you know, I don't know what their subscriber base is, but once you get that set up, it's virtually free. Mm-hmm. But it's a very quick way. And then they also have one for their conservation board, similar thing. And so I'm not aware of other counties that do that, but other counties communicate either on Facebook or Twitter better than we do, even small counties, about agenda items.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are not even accessing the free things to do on communication.
So we do have some, these are some goals that obviously might take a little time to put together, but it does give us at least some direction that this is something of a priority.
Can we, can you scroll down a little bit, Andy? I wonder about with number four there, I mean, there's nothing in there. But I wonder if, in following up on what Janelle just said, if we wouldn't want to put something in here about alternative or other means of communication. I mean, we're already doing some tweeting, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We don't tweet about our meetings.
No, we don't tweet about our meetings. We also don't do enough probably follow-up press releases on decision-making. I mean, those are all things eventually I think you can see our possibilities.
But, you know, I mean, you know, I use Facebook and now my kids barely even use it. You know, they're on Instagram and
remember when Facebook was all the rage?
Yeah.
It's not the rage with them because we use it.
So, there, you know, there's
that's a good point.
Constant shifting and updating there that we should be prepared for.
I think that's a good mechanism, and also to see what the unincorporated area is using.
Well, and it's interesting because farmers use email a lot more than you think.
And maybe it is a blog or an email system.
Well, here's one from Linn County that came December 6th, but it's got like four or five items. It's got upcoming events, their meeting schedule, And, you know, once you get the template, it's just a matter of plugging it in and getting other departments to add into it mm-hmm. for you. But now they'll pay a monthly fee for the handling this, but we had looked into that. It's not that expensive. It's way less than mailings.
I was kind of surprised. I was talking to a farmer the other day, which I thought was pretty up to date, but they said they don't even have a computer.
It's not on their combine? What's in that $1 million combine then?
What do you think?
Say, I rarely use a computer anymore. Use a tablet.
I guess one question that I have a couple questions, but I mean, one is, given these, do you want a recommendation of some amount to include in, I think it would go in the central services budget for FY15, if you were going to do any besides the electronic?
I would think you'd want some funding available, at least at minimum, for some printing. But, you know, as you pointed out, we have done some bumper stickers. We've done some business cards just getting people to johnson-county.com. Do we want to actually have a brochure that people pick up at the county fair? You know, a booklet, something of that nature? I don't know.
Even this electronic newsletter would cost money. We don't have the right equipment to shoot small YouTube videos or Mickey taking high-quality photos. I mean, even Gary Yoder uses his own camera, right? So this stuff costs money even before you got to big printing. And that's part of our problem. We haven't just said, here's $20,000 to get started.
So we want...
I'd like to put some money in there. And
we have some. We've done some marketing funding in the past, so it's got to be.
And you've got to in there. You know, I forget what's in the Board of Supervisors budget for some printing. I mean, it's a couple $1,000s. And it hasn't generally been used much.
I mean, I see.
Talk about mailing something.
That's different.
You know, really? These things are kind of stepping it up, and I think that there would need to be more money, and we can add that to the, I can ask finance to add that to the decision list and ask Mickey to collect the figures that she's gotten. We've gotten numbers on some of this stuff.
Well, Mickey would need a kind of a budget ask, you and Mickey.
Right. Well, just that committee in general.
Right. I know, for example, like Gary for the Veterans Project was talking about shooting videos of folks. And when that's over, that he's not really going to need that equipment. And I'm like, why don't we buy a higher quality of equipment that Mickey and Gary are sharing? Yeah. Mickey and Gary's intern, or it's not an intern, it's a veteran work study. But at the end of it, then it's 100%. Communications piece of equipment.
I mean, you could also set up a permanent camera. I mean, or set it up here, have a permanent mount then for that camera. If we wanted to, instead of just doing audio, we could do audio and video. It just wouldn't be any self shots. It'd just be of this room. And then when every time we met, if that camera was not being used, it'd be simple to uninstall and reattach it and just hit go.
Yeah, you're slightly beyond my geeky base, but I mean, I watch the reporters, and when they go around shooting videos now, they're not carrying a $10,000 piece of equipment. Some of them have a modified iPhone, but others have this little camera with a really pretty big mic, and you know, it's YouTube quality right there. And if you want, I mean, I think you have to approach communications from multiple mediums. There's not a magic bullet here. You're not just going to magically do one newsletter and people are going to say, oh, I understand what county government does, and that's who I call when I have a problem. But you know, we kind of go about it haphazardly, and
yeah. So, I think if you want to add that in regards to resources, I think maybe you can put it under that one, number four.
Okay.
Determine what are the best mechanisms and develop a marketing strategy or something like that, you know.
Okay.
All right, given respect of the time here, we're getting close to yep. four. Should we go ahead and just wrap this one and call it good for the day?
Yep.
And I think we're getting these checked off here.
What's our game plan? How many are left?
You have two from me, or two things from me.
There's three left.
Three left.
Okay, good.
So, I mean, where are we headed? I mean, we had wanted to be done by the first of the year, obviously. And
you know, you've got two all-day work sessions coming up yet this month. On the Wednesdays, next week is just the half day, but then the next two Wednesdays are all-day work sessions. Actually, thought we got quite a bit done in here in this hour and a half. We should be able to get the other three. I'll start working on whatever this is going to look like.
Because we all did it different ways, so you end up with a mess.
Well, but I think you answered the same questions. I just have to figure out what it's going to look like.
So are we thinking we would adopt this by the end of the month, give or take? Is that where we're looking?
I give or take.
I mean, I wasn't sold on a particular meeting. But
I think that's reasonable.
I think pretty close to the end of the month, first part of next month.
Okay. And then I was confused by when it's ending. We all went all over the board. Is it going to follow a fiscal year? Or
I think that we're going to use June 30th, 2016. As I mean, nothing is going to go beyond that, and a lot of what you have the first 6 months of 2014, you have a whole bunch of stuff, but
yeah, and we may get to the end of 2015 and decide we're either done or we've got things we're not going to do and we're just ready to move on
to the next one.
Yep.
Okay.
The other one I had was fleet management. I misplaced my pad on that one somewhere, but I'll find that. But they do have the committee's already gotten. They've got the computer program in play or planned. They know what they want, what they need. They've got some money set aside. Then they need some money to purchase that. And they said they could get that in place by July 1st. And then the other piece of that is then right after that we would start. Inventory and equipment and vehicles and get that all put into place into the computer so they can start getting things laid out then move on from our structure from there on out. So it's falling into place. It's just a matter of getting things in place. And I have in that folder somewhere I've got the cost, the amount of money they need for budget, but finance can give us that. So we get that included in our finance next meeting.
I think boards and commissions, county farm, and communications with other entities are the three that
okay.
the board can approve. And I think we can get that done in
another meeting. Okay. And as far as internal processes, the next item on the agenda, expectations, other operational issues, anything you need a direction from us?
The only thing I was going to give you a heads up, I meant to kind of mention it today, I haven't forwarded these emails on, but in your boards and commissions appointments, Kim has indicated that she's no longer able to serve on that workforce development chief elected official board, and so we'll have to have that on a work session about how the board wants to handle that. I'm not clear enough about the structure or
requirements or anything.
Problems that we meet on Thursdays, and so
that's why she can't do it.
No, not for you all, just because it meets on Thursday. So, anyway, that's just, so of what you approved today, I did not list that, so that was not included, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I think that was all I had.
All right. Any other discussion business? And our next meeting is?
Next Tuesday, budget work all session all day.
Chili?
I'm bringing chili.
I got cornbread. We'll start working on a list if people are interested. Okay. And a little potluck of some sort. All right. No discussion from the public. Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.